We'll now move to that portion of our agenda for public comment, and we have six individuals here today to make public comment. Those are issues relating to general administration of justice issues, and I will call your name, and then if I could have you approach the podium, and then I will call a second name, and if I could have that person approach the swinging gate. So first we'll hear from Sherry Safapo, and if I could have Ray Martinelli, if you could approach the swinging gate. And as you approach, I would like to remind you that this is general public comment. We're not an adjudicatory body. We can't resolve your individual cases, and we ask that you respect that and not make personal comments about the specific facts of your case. And you have 3 minutes, and you may begin. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Sherry Safapu. I want to add to your bill, you forgot to say, it passed 594, SB 594, the basic child custody evaluation. And who was against us? You know, some of the gangs are here. Judicial Council, Board of Psychology Association, Family Court Specialists, Family Law Attorney Association, flex.com. You forgot that. So anyway, today I want to tell you thank you so much for being here. You guys are awesome. And the only way you can see which one is sociopath here and not taking care of our children, 58,000 children been robbed from us, and I'm one of them. I'm a survivor. I'm not, never was a victim. But anyway, in my case, as soon as I file, I'm in a low risk in probation, and as soon as I filed with United Nations, I went to the high risk. It's a pathetic. So anyway, I tried to find the attorney here in Bay Area in San Francisco to file the RICO, and none of them, even the good check, they didn't like it because they are afraid of retaliation. So anyway, I find somebody in somewhere else outside of California, we are filing the RICO. In my case, I filed a divorce December 2006. Up to now, I married 6 years. I got raped, I got abandoned, I got everything. I rushed the court of law to get that protected, and you guys look the other way. In my case, since December 2006 up to today, I have 14 cases, civil, criminal, jail, be dangerous to yourself, all of them. So anyway, I start with Adam Gurley, who went after my nonprofit in January 2007. I went Renee Marcel, who reported me to every government entity I work. Kinian Jones, she pampered the evidence. We never got the evidence. And I saw her on the courtyard. I said, what you doing here? She said, oh, I just got the $5,000 judgment. All right. And then I hired Blumenfeld Law Firm to protect me. He wants $60,000. I gave him $30,000. And
seconds.
Then he said, no, please, you guys robbed me 11 years. I have a time to finish this.
30 seconds.
So anyway, he got 30,000. He never even come, but the good thing did, he catch Kinian Jones by pampering it. And Jason Crystal, $25,000, I got the loan to pay him. He put the foreclosure in my house. I saved my house. Beverly Wood, the ringleader, Judge Beverly Wood, she's a ringleader.
Your time is up.
So the organized person I want to expose you guys is Maureen Family Court and San Francisco Family Court and DA.
Thank you. Congratulations
to our 250.
Ma'am, please.
We are coming. We are going forward. If there is a wall, this is the wall.
Ray Martelli and Shelley Adair, if you'd come to the swinging door. So next we'll hear from Ray Martelli.
I speak of the dangers of administrative laws. I would like to direct you to the matters of administrative power, which used to be called prerogative power or absolute power, and it is something that the Constitution centrally prohibits. Prerogative power is personal power that kings and tyrants exercise when evading the law or Constitution. And its absolutism is the justification as administrative law requires judges to put aside their independent judgment and to defer to administrative power as if it were above the law. Administrative power can and does evade the law and overrides all legal rights. The U.S. Constitution was framed to bar this sort of power. Administrative adjudication has become an open avenue for evasion of the Bill of Rights. Rather than we speak of administrative law, we should speak of administrative power. If judges are to rule wisely and independent of collaborative cronyism and honor the Constitution, which they took oath to support and uphold.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Shelley Adair. And if I could have Kathleen Russell approach the swinging door, and you may begin. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Shelley Adair. I'm a victim of family court corruption. My civil rights and right to a fair trial were violated. Child abuse has become a multi-billion dollar industry. This phenomenon of placing innocent children in the hands of the physically, sexually abusive parent is plaguing our family courts throughout the nation today in the U.S. in 2015. Court-ordered abuse has become the biggest cancer in our system that is metastasizing. The family courts are trafficking our children to the highest bidder as child abuse has become, the family courts are trafficking children to the highest bidder as child abuse has become the biggest source of revenue and profit for the courts. They are endangering children's lives in staggering numbers. According to the Leadership Council, 58,000 a year. This judicial malfeasance and corruption and collusion by the judges, mediators, district attorneys, minors counsel, etc., is pervasive and must be stopped. And our children must be heard, believed, and most of all, protected. This is a travesty of justice and is so commonplace today in our family courts. There is no humanity left in our court system when we are putting profits over children's protection and their basic fundamental human right to be protected from violence. Judges and the like have total immunity and total impunity, therefore they get away with making these dangerous, egregious decisions that detrimentally impact children's lives forever. Until there is transparency and accountability in the court system, these atrocities will continue. I urge you to and implore you to put yourself in the position of a mother trying to protect her child from an abusive parent going through a dissolution. And imagine yourself in my shoes, reaching out to every agency to try to protect my children from a man that was on probation for child abuse, and everybody, including the police, CPS, and family courts, have failed my children. And I
30 seconds.
I implore you to start overseeing our judges, and there needs to be some sort of accountability for these decisions. These judges are not above the law and need to be held accountable. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Kathleen Russell, and if Connie Ballantyne could approach the swinging door, please. And thank
you. Good morning, Chief Justice, members of the council. Appreciate the time here. We are getting quite familiar with each other. We've been coming to your meetings now for just shy of a year. Next month in October, I know it'll be our 1 year anniversary of coming here. And I'm here to say again that we're not going to go away. We're going to continue to come to your meeting as long as you have public comment and talk about the dysfunction and the problems that are happening in the court. We realize it's a challenge having the largest judicial system in the Western world to oversee and to manage. It's a lot of territory to cover. But we've asked you for public hearings, and we haven't gotten any response on that. So until we have a day or two to discuss these issues in the proper venue where we can really get into why the system is failing these families, you're going to hear our three-minute comments and testimony. And I'm here today on behalf of Isabella and Grant, two minor children who I sat in a courtroom and watched a four-day trial in Marin County, California. That is where our organization is based. You all know about the problems in Marin County. Kim Turner was on this council for a period of time as the Marin Court was being audited. You know that the documents were shredded before the state auditor could go in, and that was done with your blessing. But Isabella and Grant were asking for a restraining order against their father, who Isabella, by the way, in May of this year, tried to commit suicide. And she reported to CPS, who had mandated, who basically substantiated her claims of ongoing sexual abuse, physical abuse, and battery by her father. CPS testified for an entire afternoon, and that was confidential testimony, but the judge heard it all, Judge Verna Adams, and she denied these children a restraining order despite the fact that their 18-year-old sister sat bravely in that courtroom and confronted her rapist and attacker and talked about how she lost her virginity to her father. And Judge Adams said it was bizarre testimony and she didn't believe the child, and these children are now unprotected from a violent, violent man. And this is going on across the state. It's not unique to Marin County. It's happening in almost every county in California. And this problem is not going away. And you all sit here and listen to us, but we need to see some action from the branch. And it's only going to get louder, and it's only going to get more severe as children continue to die and live lifetimes of abuse. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Connie Valentine. And if I could have Stephen Burdo, if you could approach this swinging door. Good morning and welcome. Thank you.
Connie Valentine from California Protective Parents Association. Madam Chief Justice, I attended the January 2011 swearing-in ceremony for Attorney General Kamala Harris. I was very moved to see these two brilliant, beautiful women, you were one of them, standing together, occupying positions previously referred and reserved for males. I felt very proud that day. Attorney General Kamala Harris had a Deputy Attorney General named Marsha Fay. Marsha Fay and her husband, Moni Salman, had a baby daughter, Madeline, in 2008. They divorced a year later in Sacramento. Moni Salman had threatened suicide and was ordered to complete a 26-week anger management course. He began to refuse to return this little girl to her mother at least five times over a period of 4 months. In late July 2011, he took off for Oregon against court orders with his two-year-old daughter. Marsha Fay went to Sacramento County Family Court Judge Peter McBrien to ask him to order law enforcement to locate her child. Judge McBrien, a scofflaw himself who pled down a felony, refused to do that. 12 days later, Madeline was found dead from carbon monoxide poisoning and two bullet wounds, beside her father, who had also shot himself to death. This little girl's blood is on my hands because I have failed to be able to convince you all to make sure your judges do not make these unsafe decisions. Along with the blood of a child named Alicia Mesidi, whose great aunt is sitting here today but can't speak. These are very serious things that are happening in family court. We spoke today about ensuring that our courthouses are safe from mold and from other dangers. We have to make sure that these decisions are safe also for these children. For the sake of Madeline and Alicia, two of many, I urge you to work with us. We don't want to be in opposition. We want to work with you to help make this work out so these kids don't keep dying. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Stephen Burdo, and I could have Michelle Saeda, if you could approach the swinging door, and you may begin. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Chief Justice, members of the Judicial Council, thank you for allowing me the time to speak this afternoon. I'm here today and very pleased to announce that SB 594, authored by Senator Bob Wieckowski, was unanimously passed by both chambers of the state legislature and signed into law by Governor Brown this past July. SB 594 requires the family courts to only consider custody evaluations, assessments, and investigations if they are conducted in accordance with the minimum standards set forth in state law. The need for this legislation arose from the broad knowledge that many custody evaluations, assessments, and investigations are not being conducted in accordance with the minimum standards, and are routinely accepted by the family courts, which have resulted in unsafe outcomes for children. Now, we were pleased to have the opportunity to work with Alan Hirschfeld in your Legislative Affairs Office, as well as with other stakeholders on this legislation, such as the Family Law Section of the State Bar. It is our hope that in the future we can continue to work together to find common ground and establish policies that will benefit children. I just want to point out again, I think an earlier speaker referenced that the Judicial Council and FlexCom were against this legislation. That is not true. We work with many stakeholders on this bill. Both FlexCom and the Judicial Council took neutral positions on this bill, and that was through a series of very good discussions. And so we want to hear again my testimony at this body has been consistent, much like Connie's, in saying we want to work together to find positive outcomes for children in the family court. So I continue to look forward to working together with you to find those outcomes that are going to benefit children. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next and last, we'll hear from Michelle Sayada. Thank you, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Michelle Sayada. I'm born and raised here in San Francisco, but my my experience has been in Contra Costa County family courts. And I'm here on behalf of my daughter's stepmother, Shelley Adair, who you just heard from recently. I'm still dealing with this man after 13 years. My daughter's now 13. Our first court date was her first birthday, after he brutally beat me, and then they took me into jail. There's a huge discrepancy here, and there's a lot of you here on payroll, and you guys work for the state of California, for the citizens of the state of California. A lot of taxpayer dollars are going to you guys. I would think and hope and pray and implore all of you to do the right thing and just piggybacking off of Shelley Adair, what she stated is factual. My daughter was brutalized by her father. I was brutalized by her father. And still, they took the kids away from her and gave them to the father. And I had a huge hand in that, and I apologize sincerely for that, because I could not fathom or understand a father doing something like this, especially the man I chose to have my child. My daughter no longer wishes to see her father. That's been ongoing for almost 3 years, and I had to go through the courts and be accused of being a liar and trying to, influence my child on not seeing her dad. That is ridiculous. My daughter has been away from her sisters, whom she loves, and cannot even see her sisters because the courts aren't doing anything to make sure that these girls see one another.
1 minute.
I spoke here the last time, I kept it brief. Children are not 50-50 custody. I represent a baby here right now whose mother is a drug addict on the street. They don't even take the baby away from her. But you guys are willing, not you guys, but the family courts, are willing to take these children away from their protective parent. I don't see the message. You guys are enabling these judges to you know, make these judgments or opinions. None of this is happening by mistake, and this has been happening for years. So if you don't do something about it, nothing's going to be done, and more children are going to be abused, and it just keeps that cycle going. Why don't you guys be like Pope Francis and make a good move in a good direction? Because you have to nip it in the bud.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes public comment.
You know, my son signed up.
Thank you. At this time, I urge you not to rely on the clock on the wall. Please check your personal devices. We're going to stand in recess for 10 minutes. We'll reconvene at approximately 11:50.